moments in life that you imagine you'll never forget. About a little over a month ago, I had such a moment. As Ezra Rothblatt mentioned a little bit last night, a very, very dear friend of mine was killed in a terror attack. But the problem is that even though we think we'll never forget, Baruch Hashem, time does heal many wounds. And we move on. Among the wounds that time, unfortunately, has really healed is the Churban. At least to us. We feel healed. We don't notice. We don't realize the pain that we should be in. And due to that, we have a day that Chazal gave us to remind ourselves that we had an unforgettable moment many, many years ago. One where in Kina, beginning of Kina number 8, toward the end of the first paragraph, there's a separate line, Esonein mi tein roshi mayim. We wish that our head were like water. We could cry and cry and cry and not stop crying the entire time. It's a general concept that we have a certain limitation on how much we can daven, what we can say. We have a fixed script very often. Even here in the keynotes, there's a certain script that we read. But in reality, and the Ramban points out as well, there's no din of bal tosif of crying extra on Tisha B'Av. If only we could cry, if our head were like water, we could just continuously cry the entire day. Perhaps that would give us a little more a feeling of what we're supposed to be doing on this day. The story that happened to me a little over a year ago, that I think sets the tone properly for this keynote as well as many to come. I was in Poland with a number of my students, and towards the end of our trip, we went to Auschwitz, Birkenau, and the tour guide suggested that we each take a rock from the train tracks, the famous train tracks of Birkenau. And this rock would be a rock that would remind us, no matter what was going on in our lives, that it could be much worse. We took a rock from the ashes of the lowest places in the world. You have a bad day, tough day at the office. You look at the rock, you feel the rock, everything's fine. So a very, very close Talmud of mine was showing me the rock that he picked, marveling at its beauty, smoothness, size, its color. It happened to be a very nice rock. And he said, this is going to be my rock. The next day, I see my very close Talmud, and he's panicking, searching everywhere. I said, what's going on? He says to me, I can't believe it. I lost my rock. I'm so angry. I lost my not get angry rock. It's completely backwards. We were supposed to be doing certain things to put ourselves in a certain mood, and sometimes we miss the point. What are we trying to remember today? A relationship. There's a God in the world, and that he cares about us, and we care about him. And the entire Kina really is going through motions, going through different expressions. Zatorsky mentioned a little bit of the mourning process that's important to have. This Kina really goes through every step of it. We want to know how much is God involved in our lives and in our sorrows. So we start off at the very beginning of the Kina. It says, Aor Yom Achrivi Pamayim, the third line in the first paragraph. We start with cursing. Aor, we curse. We curse this day of Tisha B'Av. We're furious. We're angry. We curse. And the next paragraph goes on to describe that we have all these memories that are rushing through our mind. In the second line, in the second paragraph, Evchana Leil Milel, Midbar, Midbar. We remember different experiences that we had, those both that are positive and those that are negative. And again, the bitterness, the pain that we feel is evident in this Kina. And then we go on and we try to explain that we're going to look for Hashem. We're not done. It's not going to be the end of us. In the fourth paragraph, we're going to do everything in our power with our heart to really find God. There's a promise that we make in this Kina. We're going to do everything that we can to find God. But the truth is, as we read this Kina, we have to second guess, do we do this? Are we in fact doing everything we can in our power to find God? Just two examples of that happen probably daily to many of us. as we finish up a shacharis in the morning? Are you busy taking off our tefillin as we're saying those final words, the tefillin that we put on in the morning, declaring the connection we have with God? We connect with God, we feel betrothed, we feel like God's partner. Do we take that off early before we should? Is that part of searching with God, b'chol lev, with all my heart, all my fiber of my beings? We say the words, but how much are we really feeling it? And the truth is, the next paragraph, a hafcha also, we recognize that we're trying to feel the words, we're searching out the right words. Again, trying to figure out, how can I express to you, God, that the pain I'm going through, the yearning for the connection that we once had and hopefully once we'll have again, or once more we'll have again. We then start to have more fond memories. It's a paragraph or two later where it starts with the Zion, the Olive Zion. Eskra b'yosi michutana. I remember the days of our wedding, of being a bride and the groom together. We start fondly remembering. No more is it bitter. It's not as any more angry. We're kind of hopeful. And we kind of ask God, do you remember those days also? Remember those days when we used to be able to rejoice in each other's company and there wasn't such sorrow? A longing wish. Two paragraphs later, but at the end of the day, even though we remember those days fondly, it's been a long time. And we even say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Maybe it's just time to call it a day. You best to pitch my tent in death's shadow. We give up. It's so hard for us. It's antithetical to Judaism. We don't believe in this at all. We don't believe, but here we are venting. We're so sad. We believe that, as the mission of Avos brings down, that greater is one moment in this world than all of eternity, than all of Olam Haba, because now it's a time to do. It's a time to achieve and to accomplish. And yet here we are just at the end of our rope. We don't have to do anymore. We're almost giving up. And the truth is, you look at the next paragraph as well. Ayu Masi, B'chol Shana Omeres, Yish Shana. Every year we always say, it's going to be this coming year, this coming year. How many times can we say that? And then at some point in time, just stop believing it. And the pain that causes us and God. Over and over, this is the time, this is going to be it. And as we end the Kina, a Kof L'cha Rosh, we take a different approach. We stop with the bitterness. We even stop with the memories. And we start with the tefillah. I bow my head to you, my Lord, my strength. I bend my knees to you, heal my ills. We go on and on as a tefillah. And the most comforting part is the very, very last paragraph, which is a little bit in mine, at least a little bit written in smaller print, smaller font. We actually get a response from Hashem. He responds to us. Here we are thinking, you know, does God hear me? We're asking, we're speaking, we're talking, we're cursing, we're begging, we're praying. And Hashem responds and he tells us the truth. He says, you don't understand how much pain I'm in. Azavuni vazavtim, ufanai mehem nefachu. I left you because you left me. The grieving and the mourning that Hashem spills back to us is the response to all of our tefillah in this kina. And when we started with wondering, is there another person in this relationship, we understand at the very end that there is. And it came about through our process of mourning and through our tefillah to God. Now that Hashem has responded to us, there's a dialogue. And it's our turn to respond, both in tefillah, in action, both this day of Tisha B'Av and every day that passes on, to remind ourselves we have a relationship. We had great times. We're in a tough time right now, but the great times will come again if we give the proper response.